Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bruncheon.
It's a bruncheon. Oh, patrunch,
patrunch. What is it today? What are we doing here?
It's been a little wild for the brunches because we had
continental breakfast.
It hasn't felt normal, right? We had our live brunch, which was
off the rails.
My goodness.
Off the rails. Let's just put it
this
way.
The best way.
Let's just put it this way. We had a deal where kind of depending on alcohol sales at the venue that maybe we'd catch a break on price.
Yeah.
And as I was sitting up there like live experiencing the brunch, I was like, we're going to shatter this record.
Oh yeah.
I don't know whether you were there, and let's put it this way. If you were there and then you heard yourself on the mic, you're probably like, oh my God.
Yep.
And if you weren't there, you're probably like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I should have gone to that. Or I shouldn't have gone to that. I don't know. I thought that was fun though. Like, I thought the audience portion of that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Super fun, dude.
It was really fun. If I was on a train to go punch a face, it wouldn't make it there because it derailed.
Because no one would punch. Yeah.
It derailed so hard. But no, I mean, derailed in a great way. It derailed into like a fun area.
I felt unsafe a few times.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah, only
a few times. I felt like, yeah.
Well, we spent so much time yelling at people throughout these years. It's about time they get the chance
they
to,
get to
yell back
at
us.
I mean, we talk about it all the time. People told us 100 times, like, I was sitting in my car yelling at you guys. And now they finally got to do it.
And now you get to yell at us back.
Yeah.
Boom. And then the next brunch was more of an interview style with Gareth Reynolds. We hope you enjoyed that. God, yeah. Gareth's the funniest motherfucker. Like, just hearing how fast he is and just how quick-witted he is.
I said
incredible.
In the episode, man, like, I truly think the funniest person I've ever heard or seen do anything is Conan O'Brien. And then, like, he might be second. He's so fucking quick.
It's just how quick and on top of it, you know, there's a point of view that believes, how'd you rehearse that?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
How'd you know we were going to talk about this and that we would lead to this point? Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed it, but we're kind of back to normal today. We're going to get into a what are we watching episode. I know these are a lot of fun because we bring up a lot of different shows that maybe movies that people are watching that we can talk about quickly. I think we'll just go round table a bit, tell you about a couple of the fun things.
Yeah.
I will start to tell you that I will never stop talking about this because it's the greatest show of all time. Drive to Survive Formula One.
Here
season,
we go.
Season 6 just came out. I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm going to check out for like...
No, listen,
just kidding.
God, please just hit play on like season 1 sometime when you're looking for something to watch. It's beautiful. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about season 6 because I've already talked about it. But you know my love for sports documentaries. There's another one that might be a little more up your alley.
Okay.
It's called Full Contact Six Nations. It's about rugby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much filmed in that same style. It's on Netflix. It's the it's following these six European countries in this rugby tournament.
Okay.
It's like Italy, Ireland, Scotland, France, England, and Wales.
Gotcha.
And it's this big tournament where everybody plays each other once, and it's called the Six Nations Tournament. It's just 8 episodes of behind the scenes, seeing what players go through, meeting their families after like the worst game of their life, and one guy would retire and he's crying at his preference. Rugby is an incredible sport.
It's an incredible sport. It's it's insanely physical. It's like, I will be honest with you, it might be the most intense thing to be doing in the world for, especially for how little it's like actually televised and put out there to the world.
Like, yeah. These are professionals, and I don't think they make anywhere near what, like, soccer players and football players makes, but they truly love the sport, and it's inspiring. You don't have to know anything about rugby. It's much like Welcome to Wrexham. Like, they'll kind of help you out.
Okay.
And just, it's on Netflix. If you need sports and you want to follow more documentary style, Full Contact Six Nations, or hit play on Drive to Survive Formula One. It's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever watch.
Okay.
Both of these are.
I was watching rugby on the cruise that I was on because hockey wasn't on, and that broke my heart. But I started watching it, and I'm like, this seems interesting. It'll take me 3 months to even understand the rules and what's going on.
They're fairly basic. Like, when you break it down, it's fairly basic, but it's just very hard to, like, it's the opposite of what any of us think. But it's kind of... A touchdown is when the ball crosses into the end zone and they put the ball down on the ground. They touch down
the
ball. They
have to put the ball down.
Ball has to go down onto
the
ground.
They touch the ball.
To the ground.
Down.
Touchdown. Mm. Weird, right?
That seems like a weird concept.
I don't know. It seems kind of
true. I feel like you should just have to touch down in the
I feel like it just has to cross the plane, okay?
Yeah.
Is it Travis Kelce doing it?
Yeah.
Is that a no?
Who's
no.
Travis Kelce?
He's the guy. He
Is that Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
No.
Oh.
No, he's the guy. He goes and
Tyler Kelce. Got it.
Yeah.
Move along, AJ. What are you watching, bro?
So, you know what? She talks Bravo.
Yeah.
She would be super proud of me.
Okay.
Because I've been watching this show called Traitors on, I think it's on Hulu right now. Like, because it's like there's a
the Hulu's second. Got some good shows.
It's on there right now. But it's a reality TV show, and it's like the second season. I never watched this first season, but Alicia was watching the show, and it was like this over the top, like, reality TV show about, and it's got Alan Cummings as the host.
Oh, I'm in.
I mean, you're basically in right there, right? And he's just being, like, all over the place, like, fun, flamboyant. It's hilarious. But he's, like, he's coming through, and it's his mansion, and it's a murder mystery type style thing. It's kind of like a Big Brother meets murder mystery.
Okay.
And so, basically, now it's all, like, reality TV, like, kind of, like, celebrities, you know, if you will, people from like The Challenge, Big Brother, some of the other like Bravo shows, and like Real Housewives, and so, but they're all in a house, and then they have to do these challenges throughout, and they try to basically win the challenge, right? And three of these people are traitors, meaning that they are basically every time the evening finishes up, at the end of like every day, there's a big vote on the table. They go around, and they are going to vote somebody off, hoping that they're voting off a traitor.
Okay.
Well, if they get it wrong, they could get it right, they could get it wrong. They don't know. What the fun thing is that it's kind of that bomb under the table Hitchcock thing. Like, we know what the traitors
are.
We know who they are.
Okay.
And so if they don't get the traitor, or if there's still traitors at the end of the night, then during the night, they conspire in a tower, and they say, we're going to murder somebody tonight. And then somebody else will get fucking murdered and, like, get taken out.
Whoa.
And so it's like they do such a good job building suspense in this.
It's so dumb, but you're like, I have to
It's
walk.
Like, I have to know.
And how am I still here right now?
I know. Well, most of the time.
Why are my eyes still on the screen?
Most of the time, like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, God, this is so over the top. It's so, like, stupid and dramatic, and I want to see what happens.
And then they're so good at, like, you're right, you go, finally, when this episode's over, yeah, I'm done. And the episode ends on a cliffhanger, so you're like, well, I guess I gotta start the next one to find out. But then they're so good at being like, and then also
they're able to rope you into the rest of the episode.
They're some of the smartest people in the world are on reality
it's
television
10 p.m.
shows.
You're like, I need to go to bed, but what's Janice gonna do?
Yeah, and you're like, well, I've got to see who they vote for.
Yeah,
because I want to know if they get it right. And then they vote wrong or something, and it's somebody who is a good person or like a good guy.
Yeah,
and you're like, you're devastated because you're just like, Because finally you're actually, and I think that's the beauty of like you knowing who the traitors are, is you're like, no,
what are you doing?
Son of a, because if you didn't know, then you'd just be like, well, I don't know who the fuck it is. I don't care. But yeah, it's for some odd reason, man, it's got me hooked and I kind of hate it, but I also love it. Nice. So traitors, man.
Really good job, man.
I haven't seen season one, but check out season two. I think it's on Hulu and it's pretty fun.
Is it linear at all?
Yes, it is.
It's like season one goes into
It's okay. That part isn't linear. No, it's just like, it's a new season, new people.
It's just like,
yeah. Do I have to watch season one to get season two?
No, you're good.
No, it starts totally fresh.
Yeah, you want to start on season two. Season one's a little bit of a clunker.
Yeah.
That'll get you into the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a movie called Sisu. S-I-S-U, and it's basically, I believe it's Danish, maybe something Dutch, something like that.
The Dutch.
I don't know what country it's from, but anyway, it's basically World War II John Wick. And
oh my God,
I had seen the preview for this movie.
I'm in.
I never watched it, and finally I just pulled the trigger the other night, and it's about this guy who's just like kind of, he's out of the war, he's done some stuff, but he's out of it now, and he's just kind of he's a gold miner in I guess Germany or whatever. But gold miner's got a dog, so you're just like, if they kill the dog, I will fucking burn this place down. He comes across this like huge payload of gold, like this huge rock that he just breaks up, and he struck it rich. So he's going to go to this town to like kind of cash it in, and gets this like brigade of Nazis who are just like fucking picking on him pretty much, and piss him off to the point where he starts killing all of them. And then the movie just becomes literally just a revenge tale, but it's told so like well. It's like where John Wick isn't like gory violent, this movie is, and I love that. So like there's pickaxes going to people's heads.
Let's go, and
like people just stepping on mines and shit. But the way it's filmed, it's filmed almost like a spaghetti western, and I really like that about it. It's really cool, and the actor's really good in it. Maybe not as good as John Wick, but it's definitely a worth your time. It's a fun watch. Yeah.
Nice.
So John Wick, World War II.
I was tested on our top five airplane movies. I was on an airplane and I was tested of what am I going to watch? I have to follow my thing. I didn't have a movie to prepare for. I'd already watched Surf Ninjas on the way out. So I found a movie series that I think we glossed over in our episode, the Mission Impossible series.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay.
The new Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 was up, which is the most recent one, the one that there's a lot of talk about Tom Cruise doing the motorcycle stunt himself.
Oh, my God, I think I watched that on a plane too, like recently, to Phoenix or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? All right, like I want something new.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch the ones I've already talked about.
And you're not going to watch this at home.
Yeah, and I'm not going to watch this at home.
Yeah.
And but I kind of digress on this because like I would rather have watched this on high def screen because there was a lot of cool stuff going on there that I was kind
of
like
on the back of a seat.
Shit. You know, like I may change my theory on that, but it's the perfect movie for that, for a flight where you're drinking and you're hanging out. You don't really have to pay. I still don't really know what happened. it's a very convoluted story and it's only part one, but dude, it was awesome. Like the action was incredible. The premise was like actually kind of creepy because it's like AI based now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's kind of scary because it's like, oh, this is a real thing.
Yeah,
it is. It's a very fun movie, and I that's why I always give a lot of praise to the Mission Impossible movies because I do feel like they stay pretty topical for like
they do.
You know, societal like horror scenarios, like scary scenarios, and like having AI like manipulate things. Like in real time, imaging, cameras, things like that.
So cool.
Very, very scary. Does not seem very far-fetched at all. And you're just like, a robot could basically Skynet us and we don't even know it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And that collaborating cast that they've put together for this
with
Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames, like you're just like, this is, I love those guys.
How did that ever make sense?
Doesn't. And they are so perfect in their roles.
Yeah.
They are all amazing.
I would recommend it as a, like, I'm not saying you should watch it, but like if you're going to click play, you're going to have fun.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you this.
Guaranteed.
I watched that movie on a plane, and then I watched it later on a bigger screen. Like it was like with my dad.
Yeah,
we were like sitting there sipping Wild Turkey 101.
Ugh.
Oh, I liked it. It was on a rock.
I like 101.
And then, and then we were watching like Ted Lasso, and we watched Mission Impossible.
Perfect.
I was like, this was a great evening. This was a fucking great night. Yeah. So I would recommend watching it both ways. It's quite an experience
right,
either way.
Right. Okay.
Well, if I didn't say, I said I was watching Ted Lasso. I finished up Ted Lasso.
Season 2.
Season 3. I watched season 3.
There's a 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm out of the loop.
Wow,
here,
dude.
I've not seen a lick of it.
It's absolutely fun.
Yeah.
It's a great departure from everything else that you know about, like, you know, HBO, Apple series. Mm-hmm. It's all just like, you know, blood, sex, and cock and balls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I love that.
Oh. But, well, and butts. But like Ted Lasso is just a nice departure from that. But I've been watching that, so I will say that. But the one thing I do want to say, depending on how many more we get, I started watching the new series Shogun.
Oh, I want to see it so bad.
Dude.
What is that on?
It's an FX thing.
God, FX never misses, do they?
No.
We've talked about this.
And yeah. So you can watch it on Hulu. It's coming out. New episodes are happening every Tuesday. And I'm like, I can't wait every Tuesday.
I might wait then. I got to wait till I can binge it.
You've got, as of right now, you should have like 3 episodes in.
And that's not enough.
And I'm sure it's not.
Aren't they calling it basically Game of Thrones, but like...
I think so.
Of martial arts, like the next Game of Thrones, kind of.
It's so good. Like it's feudal Japan, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's just, I don't know, man. It's gorgeous. It's so well put together, and yeah, I don't know. I can't say enough good things about it. That show made me want to do. It's the first time I think I genuinely wanted to do like a real time recap podcast.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're recap like Oysters and Cockles. Mm-hmm. And really want to do a show like that on this show because it is so fucking good. So
I'll watch it. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll do it with you.
Hirayuki Sanada.
Like, he's one of my favorite actors of all time.
Is he the coolest person that has ever lived on the planet?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean the guy is basically, he is basically like, He's like a Japanese like Liam Neeson.
Yes,
he's
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen.
Thank you. Does General Cheese show up?
Because yeah,
exactly. That's kind of where I'm looking.
I think he's coming.
Okay, they're hinting at it.
But they've been hinting at it for a little while now.
Ever since
episode 2.
Yeah,
somebody yelled Kwan-Tzu and got his head cut off. So I don't know. like I say, Hiroyuki Sanada is amazing. Like I mean, he's been in John Wick movies.
Yeah.
He's been Scorpion now.
Yeah.
He could train Jedi.
He's selling Hyundais.
The guy is the coolest man on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. So go and watch it whenever you feel like you are prepared to do so. Just get ready and like invest in it. That's all I'll say.
I see every time I hop on my Roku, it's like got that ad on the right or whatever of like whatever they're trying to promote. And it's like been that like the past 5 times. And I'm like, that poster is just so fucking cool. I need to watch this show.
If there is anybody out there who has a podcast about it, like that's going on, please like ask me to be a part of it. Cause I just want to talk. I just want to nerd out so fucking hard on that show.
Oh, fuck. I feel like a bad friend, to be honest.
Well, I know it.
You know.
So, speaking of nobody, a network that does never miss, HBO.
Mm.
I have been watching the saga, the unbelievable, fucking infuriating saga of the Curious Case of Natalie Grace. Anybody?
No.
Really?
It's not ringing a bell.
Man, this fucking show. God damn it. Okay, so are you aware of the show or the movie The Orphan?
Yeah,
I think so.
Where the girl's pretending to be a little girl, but she's actually like an adult.
Yep.
Okay.
And they adopt her. It's basically what happens to this family. So you're made to believe that, I will say. This family adopts this girl from Ukraine. It's orphan, obviously. And they get her at like maybe 4 or 5 years old. And it's going okay. And then all of a sudden the narrative changes where the mom is like, why is this girl having her period? Why does she have pubic hair? Like, what the hell is going on? And then it goes into like, she's trying to kill us. She's like standing at the foot of our beds with knives. And well, I don't know how she got those because those are those.
Yeah, those things cost a shit. You can't even buy those with money.
Buy knives.
We just had to. But like, yeah,
he's like, I actually don't like the show, but I had to lead up to that.
Let's talk about Surf Ninjas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she accuses the little girl of throwing the mom into the fence, and bear. Mind you, this girl has she's like suffers from dwarfism, but like a specific kind that like deteriorates her body to the point where her legs and her feet are just almost unusable. So like she has these shoes that cost like fucking $800 or some shit, and needs all this medical attention, needs tons of surgeries. And basically, this is pretty much all a fucking lie. And it's not really a spoiler to say that, because also this. HBO bought this show from like ID,
okay,
like the investigative discovery or whatever. Yeah. So it was pretty salacious to begin with. Like HBO did like a follow up with just like Natalie Grace telling her side of the story, and that's a bit more respectful than like it just gotcha. Seems like they're, you know, they're bumping up the well, like, oh my god factor, you know. But so it's kind of revealed that she's definitely not a kid. And they do all this fucking crazy shit, man. They pretty much kind of get rid of her, give her her own apartment. They legally change her age to 22 when she's at that time like 11, 12, something like that.
Jesus.
They do all this fucking crazy shit. But the highlight of this show is the adoptive father, because he is born to be on TV. Like he's been waiting for this moment his entire life. And he is just so flamboyant and so fucking over the top. And like every time there's a camera on him, he is like playing it up for the cameras. It's infuriating, but so entertaining at the same
time. Can't turn away.
He describes a bit where the mom is like, well, was there ever abuse? And he's like, was there ever abuse? Let me demonstrate what a normal beating would take place with Natalie. Sorry, it's Natalia. And he gets down on the ground. He's like, cameras, come down here. He gets down on the ground and he just like literally starts beating the ground. He's like,
Jesus.
Yeah, and does it for like way of course, too long. This part gets like super uncomfortable.
Okay.
And he just gets up and he's like, and I had to deal with that.
Oh,
like he is a victim too. Like that's his whole mentality. It's fucking crazy.
You just
dude.
Can't turn it away.
Oh my god, it's so entertaining. But yeah, like I'm just waiting for this fucking girl to have anybody care about her in her whole goddamn life, and it's just not happening. But yeah, it's fucking nuts. If you've seen it, let me know. You guys gotta check it out. If it sounds interesting. But
wow, like, all right. It's just such a strange concept. It's like that we're made to believe that this girl is older than she says.
Yeah.
And it's true?
It's not true.
Okay.
So they, like I said, they legally change her age.
Oh my god.
Because the whole thing is to this mom is fucking crazy. This mom is the crux of all the evil that's going on. Her son was like a genius, and he like calculus and everything. She wrote a book about him, but she was a heavy character in the book that like the reason he's a genius is because of me.
Yeah.
And so it's made to believe that her next project was Natalia.
Yeah.
And so it didn't work out the way she wanted, so she wanted to fucking get rid of her. It's infuriating.
This is disgusting. This is disgusting.
Anyway,
well, yeah. I'll take it to a lighter note.
Okay,
did any of you watch The Greatest Night in Pop yet?
Been watching a lot of Bluey lately. No,
wow.
Hey, you know that show's made for dogs.
Oh, man.
Wow. No, The Greatest Night in Pop. Have you seen that yet? Did you hear the rage about it? It's a documentary about them writing the We Are the World song.
Oh, I've
Lionel
seen some
Richie.
Of it. Oh, I've seen some.
I've heard of this. I heard this came out.
If you're a music lover or a musician, like it's like required watching.
Okay,
it's this. We all know the song "We Are the World," mm-hmm. and you can see the video where Bob Dylan's going.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Like, he's like, how did I get here?
Where the fuck am I?
And you just don't understand what is going on. Why are they there? Like, why is Bob Dylan not singing? And that's all we know about it. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, he can't sing. That's why he's not singing.
Oh, right.
But
hey,
this,
Bob. Bob, stop singing. You're ruining it.
Basically, just mouth it. Is that right? That's what I assumed happened. That's what we all assumed happened. But this details how this actually took place and the unbelievable stroke of luck and fate that was involved in making this a thing. They did it in one night.
It was Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson decided we're going to write this song. We want to unite the world. And how do we get as many famous musicians as possible on it? And it's all this behind the scenes footage of when they were there and when they recorded it. I don't want to spoil any of it. I mean, we all know the song came out and it was a huge success and it changed the world. Seriously, like the world was united for like 3 months after the song came out. But the way it takes place and the unbelievable moments that were captured on film with some musicians, I'll leave you this. Huey Lewis, watching Huey Lewis involved in this was like, and you're hearing them like do their takes and like not quite get it and be like, hold on. They're in a room. That'd be like what's the greatest podcast in the entire world?
Last podcast.
Okay. That'd be like them sitting in the room watching us do an episode.
Yeah.
How does that make us perform?
They're all around their favorite musicians
who are all like probably better than that. And that's why Bob Dylan was the way he was there. Cause he's like, I'm not a fucking singer. I'm hearing Michael Jackson sing this part in 1 second. And I'm like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Waylon Jennings walks out. Cause he's like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, yeah, it was like, he's not doing this. He's not doing the native chant solo.
And he's like, I'm not doing a native chant.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like,
and he also was like, it's fucking 5 a.m. Like, what are we doing? So it is a must watch for anyone that loves music or plays music. Greatest Night in Pop. I think it's Netflix. I think.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I need to watch that. That's great. Let's see. Do I have another one? I feel like Ted Lasso might have been my third one.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'd say I am really excited to watch. I think I started on like the first episode, but I was too tired. but I think the second season of Full Swing is out.
Yeah, that is the exact same thing.
It's the same thing as what you were talking about in the beginning, right?
It's just the same. It's these sports documentaries, right. The behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
When they are done beautifully like that, like, I don't even care what the sport is. Just sign me up.
Yeah. And they do a really good job. The first season was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And one of the things that kind of brought it back around to me and like triggered it again for me. So there's a golfer on the PGA Tour. His name is Joel Damon. And he kind of had an episode where it really followed him and his caddy in the first season and how they had this kind of wonderful dynamic between the two of them, kind of just like a great, almost like little buddy comedy. Cause his caddy, I mean, if you know it, golf caddies are just as good as like PGA players
if not better.
And they probably know the course actually even like way better than the actual player. And they're feeding him all this information and stuff. And his friend, his caddy is a friend and a golfer as well, right? And they have this wonderful dynamic on the course, and he's a very funny guy. He's a very kind of everyman's golfer. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about it now. And apparently, I think he must have an episode, I think, on the new season again, too. And it's kind of this article talked about how his fame that kind of spurred because of this documentary has kind of like ruined him his life a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, I used to be this under the radar golfer and like, again, kind of that everyman's golfer. Now everybody's like looking at me and looking at us and I'm about to have my first kid or something. Yeah. And like, it's a lot of pressure of just trying to perform. And he's like, I'm playing some of the worst golf of my life right now because I'm so stressed out.
Wow.
And then you add the stress of the show on top of that. And it's just like, ugh. I'm like, now I have to see what's going on. Like,
you're hooked, man.
Yeah. So I'm excited to pick it back up because honestly, I think some of the behind the scenes of the PGA Tour is some of the most fascinating shit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Watching those guys go from like getting on a jet and then they land again and they're playing golf again and like they're practicing, they're training and everything is golf related. It's crazy how much goes into their game and for them to perfect it with all the technology now. It's just like those F1 racers, I'm sure. The regimen that they go through to be on at that level.
Dude, we just watched like, oh, cool, they raced.
Yeah.
What went into making this happen?
All we do is we watch and then you have like jackasses who are standing in the brightest fucking shirt and hat. You're all, let's go. Like while they're fucking six.
Baba Booey.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
And it's just like while they're like six, seven Michelob Ultras deep and they're being like,
can't believe he fucking missed that putt.
Beer costs too much.
It's Jesus, dude. Like,
gold jacket, green jacket.
Who gives a shit? Just watching this happen and like,
we're
all ready to judge a professional athlete.
That's why I like these. Show me the behind the scenes. Show me that they went home and to their family and how sad they were that they like missed that putt.
Yeah.
Where you're like, they don't even care. They're just, they're millionaires. It's like, no, they like really care.
No, this they're very, very dedicated. Yeah. It's like, this is a very, it's like.
But also people have bad days. Yeah. And like they want to just go home and decompress with a kid.
Yeah. And half the time you hear a lot of them just say like, you know, golf is such a sport of literally any day could be somebody's like worst day and their best day. Mm-hmm. And they will be at the top of the chart or the bottom of the chart. And so it's such a roller coaster thing. It's fascinating, guys. It's the same thing as the F1 and the rugby, seeing all that behind the scenes and like what goes into it. And for us to be like, if you golf on a weekend, but then you watch these guys and it's like eat, breathe, sleep, cry, bleed, everything. Mm-hmm. Is golf. And while like, you're okay,
the,
I get it.
While you're on the court, you're like, I'm like them.
Yeah. No, I could
court the yeah, field. The,
it's like, here I am. All right. All right. I just got a new glove and a new box of balls. I'm basically going to hit like Rory today. And then you slice it off. You're just like, fuck.
Fuck. I hate this shit.
Anyways,
well, boys, call me
Full Swing.
Full Swing. Yeah. Where's that?
That's
Netflix. On Netflix. Yeah. Okay, it's a Netflix thing. Check it out. Cool. Seriously. It's absolutely fascinating.
Call me Lizan El Gaib. You can call me Muad'Dib because I saw Dune 2. And it was fucking sick as shit, dude.
You absolute bitch.
We have to give a shout out to a sponsor that directly helped make my life better recently. First, you must understand that I have the opposite of a green thumb. I don't even know what you would call that. Probably a black toe. Who knows? Every house I've ever lived in, the grass in my yard has been the worst on the block. And I know it's my fault because it was nice when I moved in. The problem I always have is that I never known what to do to the lawn and what to apply, when to apply it. I know you're like me, spending hours in Home Depot, fumbling on YouTube and Google, and then eventually giving up and paying way too much for a lawn service. Luckily, Lawn Bright is a solution that takes the guesswork out of DIYing your lawn. Lawn Bright's custom lawn plan delivers everything you need for a healthier lawn all year long. All their plans start with a soil test, so they build a plan that delivers the exact nutrients you need. We're talking soil conditioners, fertilizers, seed, weed control, everything you're going to need for the entire year. I love that their products are natural, no harsh chemicals. So that means kids, pets, they're hanging out on the grass, you're doing a picnic, you don't have to worry about it. These products are super easy to use. You hook them up to a hose and they take about 15 minutes to spray on. The company even sends text reminders based on your weather so that you apply at the right time. I was more excited than I've been in a long time to call my expensive lawn care service and tell them, I'm not going to need you this year. That was a bill that seemed so unnecessary for me. And because of Lawn Bright, I can get rid of them and have one of the best looking lawns in the neighborhood. I got my soil test the other day. I sent it in. I'm so pumped for them to ship a detailed, exact plan to my house so I can start this spring. You know how much we truly love the products of the companies that sponsor this podcast. And we know you'll love Lawn Bright as well. This is a no-brainer. Go to getlawnbright.com. Use code CONFUSED for 20% off your first order. Get Lawn Bright.com. Use code CONFUSED for 20% off your first order.
We went on the worst night you ever could go to a movie, which is the, you know, cheap Tuesday where every theater smells like BO for some fucking reason, man.
But it was like the inside of one of those sandworms.
Exactly. Yeah. But hell, we went and it was packed. And I opted for the deluxe DLX sound, huge screen one. This is at Marcus Theaters.
This is an Iowa IMAX.
Let's go.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But man, I can't remember the last time I fucking felt a movie.
God, isn't that fucking awesome?
Dude, this sound in this movie and the music, the whole theater was fucking vibrating. I don't know, man. Maybe I haven't been to many movies like that in that,
true,
that DLX thing or whatever. Mm. But man, I felt like I was on Araxes, dude. Like, it was fucking crazy. So the experience was fucking awesome. The sound and music was like I said, I just fucking felt it. But this is one of the best sequels ever made. This is like the ending of the first novel,
right?
Where obviously the Dune Part One took left off pretty much.
Okay,
but you can't get movies better than this anymore. Like, this is like true blockbuster filmmaking at its finest. Denis Villeneuve has not missed. I can't see a time where he will ever miss. It's the real fucking deal, guys. You need to see this, and you have to pay your money to go see it, because we need so many more of these things.
Yeah,
like, it is all great. Right. It's
I knew I was gonna.
Can we just go this weekend? I'll just find a theater and like,
dude, that's a great idea. You to be like, literally, it's my bachelor party.
Yeah, and I will cry.
And this
if
is
I
what
to.
I
want to
do. I'm not sitting next to Ethan, but no.
And then when we get back, we'll watch Roadhouse.
Yeah,
the remake.
All right.
So let me ask you this: is this going to be is this the type of movie that's snubbed for Oscars?
So it's not,
because Dune 1 never got nominated for anything.
It did.
Okay, then never mind. It's not like they don't consider it like superhero.
No. Yeah, this is art. This is pure art.
So you're saying this is already an early best picture
for next year? Yeah,
guaranteed.
This year's are coming up right now. So next year, this is going to win. This is going to win best sound editing, no matter what.
Doesn't matter.
I can't stress enough how amazing of experience that was. Like, feeling a movie finally.
I'm pretty pumped.
I've never, I can't remember the last time. So. Yeah.
I was going to wait to watch it on my phone laying in bed.
In 240 on. In 240 res.
with one earbud on, yeah. That's it.
And very low, just because Molly's next to me.
Yeah.
Like, drop it on my face a couple times.
Shit. Fall asleep a few times. You're in there.
So boring.
I do have to say, did you have, were we going to do another
one? Okay. All I got is one more.
Oh, yeah. If you got one more, I do have one more. You go ahead.
I think we'd mentioned this on something, but I want to reiterate it on a full episode. I think it was a Patreon, Reservation Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's on FX, which it's an FX show. I think it's on Hulu. I think there's like 3 seasons of it. This show, is a native, it's like Stranger Things, but for like Native Americans, uh-huh. But there's no like supernatural stuff. I guess there is. I don't even want to spoil. It's
Whoa,
just,
okay.
It's, I've been fascinated with the Native American culture all my life. And this show finally does what no one else has been able to do, to like truly talk about the troubles of like natives in America in modern day.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny. It's sad. It's heartfelt. It'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. It is just almost a perfectly written television show. And like, good kid actors, funny adult actors. Like, you've probably seen the meme of like the native guy on the horse with his shirt off that's going, hi-ya! Like, he's saying funny. Maybe you have. I don't know. He's the funniest thing in the movie. The kids are incredible. It's like Karate Kid. It's like the new, it's Cobra Kai meets Stranger Things meets like Dances with Wolves or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
It's just it's a beautiful show.
Okay.
And it represents a culture of people that don't get represented well in anything, in movies and TV and shit. And it's just, it's so good. It's so good.
It's such a great title for it.
Reservation Dogs.
It's so
and the
good.
Titles exactly yeah. like Reservoir Dogs.
Oh,
and,
it's so good.
And the music's incredible.
Yeah?
They did not miss with their soundtracks. Yeah, it's good. Sick. If you hit play on like one or two episodes, you'll be in.
That's also it's FX, pretty good. Right?
That is in Hulu FX.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Dune, because it had Austin Butler, and I have to talk about Masters of the Air. It is on. I'm so upset because like Apple TV is like taking over. I don't know how they got Masters of the Air from HBO. Because this is Steven Spielberg's and Tom Hanks' next series, mm-hmm. Mini series of like World War II, because they did Band of Brothers, mm-hmm. and then they did the what was the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
and now they're doing this. Have I mentioned this on one of our?
No,
things?
But I think people were talking about it in the Discord too.
Okay,
people were into that.
Yeah.
You said you were excited for it.
So it's now about seven parts in, and man, it just gets like more and more there. Somehow you're like, oh, this is, it's like, it feels a little bit boring, but then all of a sudden you're like, you're watching all this stuff happen in the air. There's like minimal soundtrack, like, and you're just, they have almost no remorse about, you're in this plane. You've been hanging out with guys on the ground, like in the camera, right? And mm-hmm. that are, they're in those planes. And then you're watching out the windows with these pilots and these gunners and everything. You just see those planes go down.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And you're just like,
that. Well, I thought that was the main character.
That was a guy that we were spending a lot of time with. And then you never see him again.
They might not even
cut back to be like, what's happening in that plane? It's just like, no, he's just gone.
That plane's done. And you better concentrate on what you're doing now.
You're just like, oh my God. Like, it's like heart wrenching to like watch this stuff happen. Just like what they're going through. They're like, they're in these massive, they call them forts, because they're these bomber planes that are going, and they're doing daylight drops where like the British are doing nighttime drops. So they're a lot safer, but they're also very inaccurate. Well, Americans are doing daytime precision drops. Mm-hmm. They're extremely dangerous, flying into like over Berlin and like all these places and trying to take out like sub depots and like ball bearing factories and all these things that are just trying to cripple any of like the Nazi party, right? And it's just insane to like watch what they go through. And then they come back and it's like they basically are, it's party every night and give these guys what could potentially be like the last day on Earth and just make it good.
And then do it again.
And then go do it again. And they're just running these missions now like every day.
Jesus.
And there's like half the planes are coming back at a time. You know, it's just such... It's like almost defeating just watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
that's what those are intended to be.
Yeah. And so it's very much on par. I think Austin Butler is in it. I can't remember Callum. I can't remember his name, but he's really good in it. Barry Keoghan is in it. Lots of great faces and names and stuff, but man, go check it out. It's, these are the shows that you just watch so you can get like some real taste of history, at least close to it. You know what I mean? It's really, really fantastic.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, we love you so much, the old people that love listening to our show. And
here we are.
And we will catch you soon for Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, baby.
About time.
The movie. It's the one.
I think we're done after that.
I like my fiction like I like my orange juice.
Yeah.
That's a pulp.
Extra pulpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And with some champagne, maybe.
Yeah, puppy.
Hey, guys. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Elmondson.
And we are the hosts of your new favorite show, The Psychologist RN. Each week, we go episode by episode talking about our favorite moments from psych, sharing behind-the-scenes stories, incredible memories, and even have drop-ins from our best friends and fellow cast and crew. If this sounds up your alley, listen to The Psychologist RN on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.